come for special services. So, but then recently I've been thinking about the difference between metaphysics, our belief, and traditional belief about religion. I'm so fortunate that I grew up with a medium that spirit could speak physically to us and we could hear. And I can't go on without telling the story that one Easter season, Thomas came to talk to us. And, you know, we always hear about doubting Thomas. And so he always wanted to have proof. And he said that his mother had been a weaver and would make clothing and things for the master. But he explained that even through to the end, they knew things were going to happen. But they had seen all the miracles that Jesus had performed. And all of the disciples thought certain that Jesus would save himself. Well, you know the story of Mary washing the feet of Jesus. And symbolic, metaphysically, we're told that in her vision, she had grown into that spiritual essence that she could see the future. And she could see that Jesus was going to be put to death. And so she took some ointment and washed his feet. Ointment that was normally used when the body had died to preserve the body. And he looked at her and he realized in that instant that his mother knew what was going to happen. He tried to prepare his disciples about what was going to happen. But most of them didn't quite get it. They were looking for the miracles. And what Thomas had told, before we get to that part, was how Jesus had traveled to Egypt and to India. And he had taken lessons from all these wonderful spiritual people of other religions. And he had one particular guru that understood why he had come to this earth plane. And the guru had promised him, "When it's your time, I will be there." And the master asked, "Well, how will you know when it's my time?" And he said, "I will be there." So when the time came, Thomas talked about how changed everyone was when they saw that the master was not going to save himself. But he said what he did see and what they did see at the moment was the light and the understanding and the healing that was going out from him. It was not as though he was suffering for our sins. He was doing what he had come to do the whole time. He knew what he was going to do, but he was sending love and sending healing to the people. And then Thomas said, all of a sudden, there was eye contact. And he, out there, in the people surrounding him, was that guru standing there, had come all the way from India. Many people think that he came to save us from our sins. Jesus never said that. When you understand the symbology of metaphysics and what spirit and Jesus, this is a wonderful book, by the way. It's a White Eagle book. The Living Word of St. John. St. John is a wonderful, just a wonderful, he's got lots of prophecies. But what he has told us, he taught us how to live. What he was teaching his disciples is that there is a physical plane as we know it, and there's a spiritual plane. And his life was symbolic of the coming of the Aquarian Age. When he was asking Peter, could he please follow him? Peter, can you follow me? And yet three times he said he would. But he knew at that time that Peter still had this ego that wanted to be praised. He knew at this time that Peter actually was going to do what Peter had come to do, and that was to tell the people where Jesus was. Because Jesus came. He came to prove that each and every one of us has that divine light within us. When he always spoke about the Father, he spoke about that divine essence within each and every one of us. When he talked about life, he talked about that great I am, the surrendering of the ego, the surrendering of having to be praised, the surrendering of all of those things for the God will of that divine essence that lives within each and every one of us. Spirit has said that it was not the timing of the Piscean Age, because the timing of the Piscean Age was you have to see it to believe it. When that wonderful Easter morning, when Mary Magdalene came and the stone was rolled away and everything was wonderful, she didn't even recognize that Jesus was there at that time. She thought it was an angel. And he spoke to her and said, Mary, who are you looking for? But the wonderful thing about it all, the rest of the world is looking for Jesus to come again. And Spirit said, he already has done that. He came back 3 days later. But yet people don't acknowledge that. He came, he served, he taught, he enlightened, and the words that he taught and the essence that he left is still here today. I was just very honored to be in a service this week, and the minister was talking about, and the Savior will come back again. And I thought, he already did. I wanted to get up and tell everybody, he already did. Life is wonderful. It's not that some are good enough and some are not good enough. We're all on this trail, this pathway of life. And sometimes this trail, this pathway of life, we enter the school of hard knocks. And in this school of hard knocks is probably the only time that we decide to look inside and search and say, please God, or anyone else, please help me. We always have to come to that point where we ask. And usually we ask when we're down and out. And then it's always something miraculous, but we don't realize it because it comes just as smoothly as an opening of a flower. An answer comes and things change. And we just think it's part of life that we got out of this in some way. But it's always that divine essence, that beautiful seed of that Christ essence is in each and every one of us. And his name was not Jesus Christ. His name was Jesus the Christ. It was his title. And anyone else that reaches mastery, it could be Scott the Christ someday. It could be Mona the Christ someday. He said, what I do, you do also. But when he was talking about the different levels, he was speaking about the difference between the world mind and that superconscious mind, which is that God mind. Spirit has taught us that we have three minds: the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and the superconscious mind. And that God mind, when we learn to live in that essence, is when things begin to change. When we can overcome the negative, when we can overcome the will of needing to be praised, when we can overcome the need that, oh, look what I did, look what I have. When we can overcome that and be quiet and just be at peace with ourselves, just be at rest with who we are, and ask for that guidance of that divine intelligence within us to serve us, to inspire us, to give us the courage to go on. This is what this great master was for. He was a great teacher. He was a great medium. And when many of the stories, he raised the dead. Well, we're told many of those stories were that it wasn't physically dead because someone was hurting so that they couldn't understand anything around them and they were asking for some answers. So he was able to heal them and give them the answers of the spiritual life where they could understand. In the end, before he passed, the prisoner on the cross, he told him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." A master has that wonderful ability of canceling karmic debt when a person is truly ready. That's what we're told, that he promised the prisoner. And so when he made the transition, he got to go to the same place where the master had been. Only people have reached that pinnacle of that divine power within them, of that light, of that essence. They are the only ones that have that power. But what the beautiful part of it is, what he taught is, each and every life that is born eventually will do what he has done. We will all reach that pinnacle. It might not be this lifetime, but it certainly doesn't hurt, to start. It doesn't hurt to start to understand, even when we can't understand sometimes. It's easier to say that than to judge someone, because we all walk the same pathway. We all have made mistakes, but we have learned from those mistakes. If we had never made mistakes, we never would have learned from them. And sometimes by our mistakes, we know what we don't want, which gives us closer to what we do want in our life. The beautiful things in life aren't the castles. It's what you see with your illumined spiritual eyes, the essence that what God essence has already given us on this earth plane. There are many things that seem like, why can't we have a Savior come and straighten up this world right now? Why can't we have somebody come in and sweep and tell everybody they're wrong? Because that's not the way life is. Spirit told us that in these times, and this was in the 70s, that at this time there would be many, many tragedies. And when people pass on, they have to have a ticket to go home. But there would be the masses going home together. And it's preordained. And even though it seems, and it is very tragic for those left behind, those angels of light and of life are there, carrying them to the other side. They see the light. They see the beam. But why? They say in this time that there are many people who came into this earth to choose to go home at this time. And so I sometimes feel like I should have white hair, because everything they told me is going on right now. Even right down to the point where they say the ego will take over. And it seems like everybody wants to have their way. But this passage has to come through to the point where the people left will say, we don't stand for that. We stand for love. We stand for honor. We stand for truth. We stand for moral. We stand for the love of each person that comes our way. That's what the new earth is going to be. Spirit has said at this time, it can be so chaotic that it would be like in the monster movies. When the monster dies, he goes out with the roar. So in other words, when old thinking finally goes out, it will probably go out with a roar, because nobody wants to give up. Nobody wants to give in. Everybody thinks they're right. But there's a new day coming. I have children, I have grandchildren, and I meet people all the time. You know, these kids just have it within them to love one another and to accept and to understand. There's a new day coming. There was a minister, I quote it quite often. He would say, sometimes what a church needs is a few good funerals. Not meaning the old will pass away so the new can come in. The newness of life is the continuing of understanding that this beautiful planet has given to us. It's our beautiful Garden of Eden, and we need to take care of it. It's a beautiful place where you can go into a woods. And I remember when I was in high school, there was a song called My Green Cathedral, speaking of the spirituality of just walking in a woods, what can do for us. The beauty of what is here, the simplicity of what is here. It doesn't take intelligence. I have a little great-grandson. He's 21 months. They think he might have pneumonia, and the parents had to go somewhere, so Stan and I babysit last night. And he had one book after the other. I don't know, we probably read 50 books. Not really, but probably 20. And you know, I have that just beauty of seeing a cow and go moo, and the sunshine and the good night moon. How exciting these tiny little kids are. They haven't been taught anything else. We were probably like that. That's what we need to bring into our life, to see the moon and say, thank you, beautiful good night moon. I feel your presence, and I give you mine. That's the connection of living the life on the spiritual path. It's not fear. That which we fear, we cannot. It's impossible to love. Most of us, God made each and every one of us in his image, we're told. In his, her image, let me say. So that's telling us we all have that divine essence within us. We are all worthy of the kingdom, if that's what you want to call it. And the kingdom starts right here, right now, with the rocks, the pets, the children, each other, looking in harmony and love at those people that we are connected with, in great appreciation and understanding. When the way gets hard, it must be we have a lesson to learn to spiral up another step. And it's strange, when someone has passed on, we can finally, and it may take some of us years, and it has taken me years for some of my connections, to say thank you, because I never would have searched for the beauty that I found without the lesson that you gave me, without the tragedy, without the loneliness. I wouldn't have found that without searching for something better. What's true in one life is true in every life. When we first opened this beautiful chapel 16 years ago, some of the Baptists had on the Facebook how we were witches and we were of the devil. Well, the lower self in each person is what Spirit calls the devil. that God essence is our higher self. But at that time, Stan decided to make a cross, and he's the one that made this cross out here on the end of the chapel, so that maybe somebody could see that we believed in something. But the beautiful cross is a symbol of metaphysics, but not of death and dying. It's a symbol of love over hate and faith over fear. When we can incorporate love in our life to the extent of that trust with the faith, then the hate and the fear is eliminated. God bless you all.